If we win, I'm reading the paper in the cafe. If we lose, I'm in a dark room for probably 12 hours.
Just seeing pictures of myself places I hadn't seen them before, that at times made me a bit edgy.
We don't want to be known for a group that just loses, so we're not accepting losing.
I giggle at some of these comments from the experts, and they don't really know what's going on.
I think people can really see the way that we want to play because we think that it works and stacks up.
It's great fun. When you're winning, not when you miss goals after the siren. That's
your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yes, welcome one, welcome all. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum, thanks to Prosper. Get approval on your business loan in hours, not days. Go to prosper.com, that's PROSPA.com. Sam Doherty with us from the Blues this morning. Morning, Doc.
Morning, gents.
It's great to have you in, mate. But happening in the Blues world, what's going on?
We're just off to bye, so it's a bit relaxed and refreshed. But looking forward to a big game this week against Freo, who's travelling over after a really good win last week. So should be a good contest.
Freo 145, Etihad Stadium for Blues fans on Saturday. I was going to ask you about that, the vibe off the bye, into it and off it. How different is it coming off a couple of days and the players get a chance to refresh mentally and physically?
Obviously, by this stage of the year, when you get to the bye, you're pretty wrecked as a player. If you've 10 games of the season, the progressive fatigue really gets you at this stage of the year. So as a player, you do really look forward to just getting away, getting back home, whether it's going away with your partner or your family or seeing some mates, getting into the ocean, yep. Just getting away from the city, basically, to regenerate or recuperate and then come back. And a heavy focus is to set up your second half of the year. So for us, we can't change the first half of the year, so it's an opportunity to reset our goals and come back in a better state of mind and a rejuvenated state to put in some good performances.
Just on that, is it more a physical break or a mental break for players? Because often, you know, we had Taylor Adams in here yesterday and he was heading up to Byron Bay and he just wanted to get away from the furnace, if you like, even though Collingwood are going quite well. What's it like for you and for some of your other teammates?
It's definitely mental. I always found when I went on the bye that it actually put me out of my routine and actually hurt me even more, because you sort of, when you're in footy, you just get into this week-to-week routine of play, recover, get ready to play, play again, and then you just keep rolling that around. And the bye sort of disrupts that. I used to get crook all the time. I don't know why. I think the
drinking and
there's something to this. Your body just lets down and go, right, yeah. I got a chance to rest, and it just gets consumed by all the badness.
Yeah, it does.
It's germs.
It's one of the strangest things, and I think it's because you break that routine and your body just gets so used to it. It's like the first week of the off season also might be alcohol based, but you do get crook straight away, and it's that your body just relaxes and goes, oh, I don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah, so I agree with that.
And you generally get, and we've had you. Blokes always come back crook after the bye, it happens.
So with a young team particularly, is Bolt all over them when they come back because of that, come on, switch back on, or does he let them, do you know what I mean, what's his strategy?
As a leadership group, we flagged it before we went that go and enjoy yourself and get away with the people you want to get away with and reset your mind, but come back. We had day one as Monday / day training, first training was Tuesday. We had a heavy focus on making that our best session for the year to reset the boys ready to go for the weekend, because the danger of it is you roll into the next game still in holiday mode, and that's the danger for all football clubs. But we've made a concerted effort to make sure that when we came back in, we were resetting for the second half of the year.
So broader discussion a little bit on the bye. With considering what you said before about getting to this stage of the year and everyone's a bit cooked and just needs a break, is there merit in the two buys? So round 7, round 15 buys going forward in the AFL. Would you like to see that?
I'm a big fan of it, personally, but I do understand the scheduling difficulties that are around that, and whether you have the full footy week or you hurt footy for 3 weeks and you have 3 split rounds, there's no great way of doing it. But I'm of a belief that the buy does break up the season for you and allows the best players to be out there more consistently, and you won't see guys get rested late in the year because their bodies are absolutely cactus.
Yeah.
With the two bye sort of system, but then the way it is at the moment, you essentially get two byes if you're playing finals. But if you're not, then you don't. But I'm not sure the best way around it. But I'd love to see two byes come back.
Great use of cactus too, just by the way. I haven't heard that used for a while. My dad used to say that all the time. That's awesome.
Now, Sam, how do you feel about the pay cut you're taking? Because apparently Cripps and Kerno are re-signing. And a lot of paper bags will be going their way.
Well, I did read that
on top of the table, just by the way.
Oh, sorry, yeah, on top of the table.
Oh, I'm locked in for a couple of years, so it doesn't affect me just yet. But I read that the other day, and there's been nothing out of the footy club about it actually being true. So I can't tell you whether it's happened or not, but I'd be happy to take a little bit of a pay cut to get them two locked away.
I mean, it's a smart play if, well, we think it's right. You know, come back from the bye, reset, like you say, and then, oh, by the way, boys, our two best players, we're here for the long haul together. Yeah, you can work off that as a theme.
Yeah, well, if it's true and if it's actually done, it'd be great. But I'm not sure that the club will use that as extra motivation for performance. I think we've got enough internal drive as a group to set up our back half of the year and hopefully get some wins on the board.
So let's assess it for us, because you've got this unique situation where you're a spectator for Carlton games this year and a coach, but also still in the inner sanctum and vice captain of the footy club. Firstly, how would you assess it to this point in the season?
The year hasn't gone the way that we expected and wanted it to, and that's for a variety of reasons. Whether they're not excuses, but they're reasons that we've had a lot of players out that we really couldn't afford to not have in the side, and then we've had to expose our kids and our youth, and it has hurt our performance now. But the way I look at it, as a spectator and the outside voice, is that's going to pay us back at some stage. We've had young guys step up significantly, and I look at the growth of Zach Fisher, for example, who's probably been my favourite player of the year. He's come in, he's taken a prominent midfield role, grabbed it with both hands. We've now got a player that's going to play a full year in midfield next year that's going to set us up as a club. Mm. That's the viewing lens I've had on it. As I said, there's stuff that's happened that you can't control. Every club has it, and it's just to what degree it hurts you. And it's hurt us a bit in the first half of the year, but we've got, I think, 8 players back in the VFL this week that have been injured. We've got, hopefully, Levi will come back in the seniors team. We start to get a few players back. Obviously, I'm still sitting on the sidelines, and I think we've only got 2 season enders, which is me and Tom Williamson. So hopefully we start to get a few players back. Murphy comes back, and you start to see an uptick in our performance because we've got the cattle on the park.
So for Carlton fans out there, that's sort of assessment of the first 11 or 12 weeks. Do you then, has it not waned, your confidence waned, but has it strengthened knowing that, okay, we haven't had the results on the field, but from what we've seen from some of the youngsters that we might not have seen otherwise, that I'm still absolutely adamant we're on the right track?
Yeah, 100%. I believe we've been on the right track and have got the right talent and personnel at the club for a while now. It's a matter of that group gelling together and moving forward as a group, understanding the way we want to play our football. Regardless of how we started the season, I would have always said our back half of the year would have been better, because it's this group gelling together and playing together, and the difference between 10 games of football between a second-year player or a first-year player is in Paddy Dow, Zach Fisher, even Charlie Curnow. The difference between the first 10 and the back 10 is usually a lot better because they've had another 10 games of experience. And you listen to a lot of people say it takes 50 games to play for players to start playing consistent footy. It doesn't have to be 50 games, but the more games they get into it, the more they learn, the more they understand how to play at the level, and that's only going to be better for performance. And a lot of our group's in that phase of their career, so the extra 10 games is going to be vital for them.
So then the review process through the year, what's that like? Just take us into the club during the week after a game, obviously mostly losses to this point in time. What's the tone of the review process from Bolts and the coaching staff? How much education is it as opposed to how much sort of steal and resolve sort of communication?
Depends on the loss, I would say. If it's a real heavy loss, there's a bit of soul searching which needs to happen because you don't accept that.
Yep.
If we've lost and we've played the way we want to play, it's more of just a growing phase. Again, you don't accept the actual loss. That's paramount in the whole thing, but there's degrees of how you lose. If you lose playing your footy and it's a minor thing, it's more adjustment. If you lose not playing your brand and your intensity, that's when the coaches have I have a view that they have a right to challenge us internally quite significantly. When you're playing, like we lost our last 2 games against Sydney and Geelong, playing the footy we generally want to play, but cost ourselves in some patches of footy. Geelong was the first 10 and the last 10. They both killed us, and Sydney was the third quarter. So you really dive deep into exactly what happened in that time to try and rectify it without losing fact that we actually played some good footy for 3 quarters of both those games and put ourselves in a position to win. So
You contrast that against a game like Melbourne, where we lost by 109 points, with probably not playing to the intensity that we wanted to play at. So that's the probably the two different sides of it. We haven't had a hell of a lot of the wins, but yeah. When we did win against Essendon, it was of the same view. It was, this is what we did well, this is what we didn't do well. Let's try and improve what we didn't do well. Let's try and harness what we did well and move on to the next week. The review process takes basically 2 days. With the way we've structured our week is we have basically 2 days to review, day off to reset your mind, 2 days to prepare for the game, play. That's the general theme we've gone for, which it allows you to, so my day off, obviously Wednesday yesterday, allows you to sort of split your week in half and really review and harness what you've done and then move on to prepare for what's coming next.
Makes sense. Sam Doherty's with us on The Breakfast Club. It's part of the Prosper Inner Sanctum today from the Blues, vice-captain of the footy club. Of course, still out with that knee injury, with that ACL reconstruction, but he's back on track. I've seen him moving at Icon Park. He's moving quite well around those cones.
Do you feel a bit intimidated, Scotty? Two great Carlton minds together. Well, we're just sort of just making
it. I'm just going to have a break.
Well, that's what we're going to do.
Oh, okay.
We're going to come back and talk more to Sam about the Carlton situation and the world of footy as well. Plenty going on. We'll find out more from him after this on The Breakfast Club. And it's great to have Sam Doherty with us in the Inner Sanctum today from the Blues. Thanks to Prosper. Get approval on your business loan in hours, not days. Go to prosper.com, P-R-O-S-P-A.com for more details on that. We were talking before the break, Doc, about the review process and playing the way that you want to play. Has the way you wanted to play changed from the start of the year to the midpoint? Because I remember talking at the start of the year about and listening to Bolts talk about trying to be a bit more free-flowing and scoring and putting some pressure on the scoreboard, and then all of a sudden it seemed to go back to a bit more neutral and a bit more defensive perhaps. And then there's this, in the last couple of weeks I've noticed a real flare again to try and attack. Now, it hasn't always worked, but there's been that attempt to do it. So has it ebbed and flowed a bit, the system, through the year?
I wouldn't say it's ebbed and flowed. It's adjusted little bits, and that was probably based on when we came out in the first four games and tried to play that run-gun, high-octane footy,
yep.
We got scored against really heavily. So we made a few adjustments, which probably put us back on the defensive path, and our ball movement probably suffered on the back of that. And we're probably going for somewhere in the middle.
Mm.
But with young groups, you say, do this, and they'll grasp all of it. So if you say slow down slightly, they'll slow down completely.
Yep.
And if you say go for it, they'll go all out. So we're in a phase of learning exactly what it looks like, and there's going to be the ebbs and flows externally that you'll see, because we're still learning exactly how to do it and when to go, when not to go. And that's probably what we're seeing at the moment. We're slowly getting a balance that's more suited to where we want to be, but it's an enjoyable process in the same time that you do see improvement, but it is such a coachable group that if you say do something, they'll do it. And that's half the battle, is actually getting them somewhere on the path that you want to go.
Now, Mark Murphy's situation fascinates me. How do you approach it as a mate and a teammate? Do you just have a coffee at some point and go, mate, you know we'd still love you and we'd love you to stay, or do you just let that take care of itself? How does it, the teammates and as a friend, deal with stuff like that?
I think he knows that us as a football club and me as a leader of the club want him around. And it's one of those ones that players make moving decisions based on so many different reasons, and the footy club is only one part of that. That, like, he's got a family, a young kid, he's setting himself up for life, and it's one of those ones as a footy club and as a teammate, you've got to make him feel welcome and wanted at the football club. And but we have to also respect and understand that that's a small piece of the whole puzzle, and we can try our hardest, and I guarantee we will be for the back half of the year, because he's a great player of our footy club. He's our captain, and I'd love him to stick around. But there's also the understanding you never know what's going on in someone's head. From a player that's moved clubs, it's easy to say, yes, I'm staying, and not have to deal with the media scrutiny or anything like that. And I don't think the AFL as an industry is actually ready for players to come out and say, I'm going. I look at the NRL system, and I watched, I think it was Ryan Hoffman talk yesterday on the news about Craig Bellamy, possibly leaving. And he's just like, yep, if we want him to stay, but if he wants to go, then we understand that, good on him. And there's players that come out and say, we're leaving next year, and it's just no fuss.
Could we get there?
I'm not sure. I think we've got too many people covering the game for it to be a mature process. And Clubland's the same. I think we're too protective of our assets. Yeah. If someone comes out and say, I don't want to be here.
They're a spy suddenly.
They're a spy and they're on ice for the year so that we get proper value. So I'm not sure whether the AFL will get to that sort of system. I don't know if their system's actually exactly right in itself. So, but back to your question of Murph. I sort of digressed then, but back to your question on Murph. As a teammate, I just want to make him feel that he's wanted at our footy club, and I'm sure he feels that, and he'll make his decision when he's ready.
When you did move, when did you make up your mind? So, because I think there's a lot of us in the media types.
You
media
all of you. Type.
Yeah,
all
that's
of
right.
All of you.
We try and press, and I could ask you 50 questions about where you think Murph will stay. Well, no one really knows. But when did you make up your own mind that, I'm out? And did it affect your performance either negatively or positively when you'd made up your mind at Brisbane?
It was somewhere in the back end of the year. I would say around 15 or somewhere around there. I probably started thinking about it early in the year, and I probably looked back, and it was probably one of the games I got put sub. I was sub six in my first 13 games, so
that'll do it.
There's probably your mindset after one of those games going, oh, do I really want to be here? And then that sort of progresses over a number of weeks until you actually go, well, I think I do. And then there's a whole another process of, all right, well, if you're going to come back, how are you going to get back? And the final decision doesn't really happen until postseason, because that's when it's all done and dusted. You have a fair idea about it late in the year, I would say, but then there's still last minute pitches and plays late in the year that can sway you. So it's one of those ones that you think you made up your mind and you probably don't know. And then once you get to the end of the season where you actually have to, I think that's the point of you actually have to make a decision at the end of the year. So a lot of players will put off contracts or whatever going later into the year trying to figure out exactly what they want to do. But I reckon that the final actual decision of I'm gone happens later in the year.
So, because one of the questions that we ask, again, us in the media, we say, oh, you know, have you spoken to your teammate? Have you done this? Have you done that? Do you have those conversations with teammates, or is it one of those things you feel that you can't trust them, or that you worry that, you know, that they'll try and change your mind when you've...
Dob on it.
Yeah, like, how does that happen behind closed doors?
I reckon your close mates probably read it as much as what everyone else does. So by the end of the year, if you're a close mate, you end up having that discussion with them, and you got to take... They're trusting you in what they're saying. So you can't just go out and blurt it out to the list manager and say, no, he's gone. Because that's not the way it works.
Trust me, you told me.
You've just got to do your best. And if, in the end, if you think it's the right, if they're your friend and you think it's the right decision for them, then you can't try and selfishly tell them not to, because I don't think that's the right way to do it either. That there's the, not the pressure, but the feeling of that we want you to stay. We really want you at our football club. But as I said before, us wanting you is not the final decision. Mm. There's greater powers than your teammates saying, hey, we really want you at the football club to in your decision-making in your mind. It's one part, and that's what I said before. You've just got to play your part in it and try and hope like hell you can get them to stay. And because the players usually are, if you're trying really hard to make them stay, they're important players at your football club. And it would hurt to see anyone leave my football club, and that's more because I'm a leader of the club and I want to see the club succeed. And that's probably my part of trying to make them feel like they're welcome, not welcome, like they're wanted at the club.
We can't have that going on at our football club, Sam. We can't do that.
You two got Nike blue shirts on?
Because the blue skies and it's all bound by blue sort of stuff. With green shoots, though. Remember the green shoots. Can I ask you, you've had a pretty privileged position or a different position this year watching the footy from the bench, and one of the major talking points in footy is the state of the game. Have you noticed an area of concern just watching it from that angle each week of what the game can do to improve, or is there anything wrong with it from a player's perspective even though you're sitting on the sidelines?
I'm probably more of a footy lover for what it is. I love the game for what it is, and I think that it'll change and it'll develop itself, and I'm probably more of the view, if you want to change something, just probably change the way things are adjudicated, like holding the ball and demanding the mark and simple things that
you can change in the game that will change it significantly.
Mm.
I'm probably very against the significant changes of
zones
and starting positions. And I go back to what's the core of footy and how's footy been played for 150 years. There's been little changes here and there, like third man up, take that out, and interchange cap, that they're not fundamentally changing what football is. I don't know, I'd hate to see, as a defender, having to see a stoppage and run back to the 50 because we have to have two inside 50. I just don't think that's in the spirit of the game of what we're going for and how it's been played for 150 years. I do agree there's a bit of congestion, and but I also do agree that there's a lot of negative talk about that. There's not a hell of a lot of talk about what the game is and how enjoyable it is to watch and the atmosphere that's created at games. It's more about, oh, we can change this, change that, change that. And who knows whether it's actually going to make a decision. There could be a point in 2 years where we bring in something drastic and we just ruin footy for a couple of years and we're going to take it out again. And I prefer that not to happen while I'm in football.
Voice of reason, this man. Well, you should address all these seven committees they've got.
I'd love to, but I don't think I've got the strongest voice in it.
Sam should be on one of the committees.
You have now. You RSN.
Well, that's right. This is broadcast all across the globe, as you know.
IBF will be listening.
IBF will be listening. Well, sounds like you might have to get your head around some changes because that seems to be the direction the headquarters wants to push it. Adam, you know more about this. You're all over the change.
I think it'll be massive change.
I believe it's going to as well. I don't completely agree with it, but I'm not in the final decision making of what's actually going to happen with the game, and there is players on the committee,
yeah, but not smart ones like you. What about the? I don't mind this. The 18-meter goal square. You've kicked in a lot.
That's one that I don't mind.
Yeah,
but again, I don't believe that's fundamentally changing the game.
Exactly.
It's doing is just putting you further out from goal, but that allows you to open the ground up slightly.
Just kick barrels.
One that stands out, I think, for everybody now is when they take the shot from behind the goals from high up in the grandstand, and every player is in one quarter of the ground at a defensive 50 stoppage. And then you guys, you're trying to keep it in your half, and they're trying to get it out, and they can't get it out, and it's just a mess. I think fundamentally that's one of the biggest things that they're trying to change.
Then Queen's Birthday, there's 20 goals to 15, and it's an exciting game to watch. Last year's final series, exciting. That's what gets me.
I think there needs to be a bit more of an investigation as to which are the teams that are involved in a lot of the problems, and if it is the teams that are struggling,
penalise them.
I think there needs to be a bit more analysis on
that. I'll be honest, though. I went to the Queen's Birthday match, and how many goals were kicked?
34.
30-odd goals. I sat up in the stands, and at one point, 16 players were inside D50, defensive 50, at a stoppage. So it's not like other teams that are kicking great big scores aren't doing the exact same thing. Yeah, they're just finding a way to get out of
it. But this is my point, is that the good teams can get themselves out of that mess. The bad teams can't get themselves out of that mess, which creates a tougher spectacle to watch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think that as the standard, that's probably more the standard and the skill to get out of it than the actual congestion itself. But I don't know. There's a number of things you could try and bring in, but I don't know. As I said before, the look, I don't know if that is looking worse than the fact that I've got to run down at the other end and stand inside 50.
And dive for the line.
You're looking at a good point. That's more my view of it. Is the fundamental? We talk about go the footy first and ball goes up and now I'm running back to
the other
end of the ground. Is that a better look than what it's at the moment, or is it a worse look? And that's the decision that has to be made overall.
I've got a feeling that Sam doesn't want the green vest coming back either.
No one wants the green vest coming back. No, certainly
I categorically
not.
Tell you, no certainly one wants not. The green vest coming back.
Certainly not the Doc, who's been outstanding with us this morning on the Inner Sanctum. Great to have you back, mate. Look forward to seeing you soon. Good luck to you and the boys this week. Frio, Etihad Stadium, Blues fans on Saturday afternoon. Get there and support the boys in Navy. Good stuff. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.